it is Friday, April 26, 2019, at 1:30. With me, I have Dr. Laura Gaffigan, a Dayton native, but doesn't currently live in Dayton, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So let's start out. What is your affiliation with the arcade? You were born in Dayton, so...
Actually,
what
I was not born in Dayton.
Not
I was
born
not
in Dayton.
New. I'm actually not technically a native. So I was born in Iowa, and
okay.
We moved around a bit. My dad was – we actually moved every 4 years of my life. So,
really?
Yeah, until we hit Dayton. And then in Dayton, we settled and didn't move away until I went to college. So my parents are still in Dayton. But my dad is a preacher. He's a minister. Now retired, but back in the day, they didn't really want you to stay sort of entrenched in one place for a long period of time. So we ended up moving pretty semi-regularly until we hit Dayton. And then Dad left the ministry and started running a retirement residence in Dayton. And so that's when we settled down for a much longer period of time. So I'm not a Dayton native, but we moved to Dayton in 1976, and I was in seventh grade.
Okay, great. So did you grow up, I'm assuming not downtown, but in one of the suburbs?
Not really. We were in Upper Dayton View, North Dayton, which you're not a Dayton native yourself, are you?
No, I actually am. I've grown up in Kettering, and
that's
actually from where I'm conducting the interview.
Oh, okay, very good. So you know then that Salem Avenue, Upper Dayton View, North Dayton, is actually within the city limits, so it is not technically in the suburbs at all.
Okay.
And so we lived on Cornell Drive right off of Salem Avenue.
Okay. So what was your neighborhood like growing up in terms of diversity or different neighborhoods by where people are from, you know?
Well, when we moved in 1976, we were moving into Dayton on the heels of what can only really be described as white flight.
Yes.
So we were the only we had come from a very different kind of background. So after Iowa, there was Chicago, and we lived in inner city Chicago, which was what we were kind of used to.
Yeah.
We also, after Chicago, we moved to Colorado, which sounds like it'd be in the middle of nowhere, but Pueblo, Colorado, the city in which we lived, had a high, high concentration of Latina and Latino residents. So again, it was a population that was very diverse, and we had... You know, we were in a neighborhood that was, I guess you could say mixed. We had both Caucasian and Latino residents in our neighborhood.
Yep.
So when we moved to Dayton, we didn't have a lot of experience with African American neighborhoods, but we did have a lot of experience with diversity.
Okay.
So when we moved in the 1970s, my dad bought the house that we lived in. Our favorite place in the world. It's like our little palace, our little Tudor palace. He bought it from Burnley Stevens, who was only the third owner. The house was built in the late 1910s, early 1920s. It's a gorgeous home and built by a man who, as an architect, eventually lived there himself.
Okay.
So it was it was a beautiful home. It had all these crazy plaster treatments. It had a cathedral ceiling. It was the most beautiful place I'd ever seen in my life when we moved there. And I didn't care who we lived next to. This place was gorgeous. But also, we were absolutely the minority in our neighborhood in terms of racial affiliation. We were Caucasian, and almost nobody else in our neighborhood was white.
Okay.
That was – I had no idea – that would be a thing. So when we moved there, to be honest with you, I never thought twice about it. I went to Fairview Elementary School, where I was certainly not a majority. I was a minority as a white student, but there were plenty of other white students too, and it didn't really feel, I never felt unsafe. I never felt like this isn't comfortable. None of that stuff was, I didn't feel conscious about that at all. What was interesting, however, was the reaction to my friends in Kettering and in Centerville when I told them where I lived.
Mm-hmm.
So when my dad moved to Ohio, he was not any longer in the ministry. He was running Friendship Village in Trotwood, which is where he lives with my mom right now. He ran that place for, say, 30 years, I think. He did commercials and did all this stuff. But we went to church down in Kettering at Fairhaven Church. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, so Fairhaven Church, which is now a mega church, but at the time was very modest. So when we moved to town, Fairhaven Church was pastored by my dad's best friend in college, in fact. Ron Julian was his name, and he and my dad were in each other's weddings. They went to seminary together, and indeed Ron and Helen and my dad and mom traveled together, went to Alaska together on a cruise. I mean, they were very, very fast friends. So there was no question when we moved to town that, A, we'd go to an Alliance church, which is what my dad was a pastor of, and, B, that we would go to that church because Ron Julian was there, and there was no question where we would go. However, it was a very weird, bifurcated existence because I loved Upper Dayton View. I loved Salem Avenue. I loved where I lived. The houses were gorgeous. It was a wonderful place to live. Every Sunday, Saturday, Wednesday, Thursday, there were so many church things you wouldn't even imagine. Mm-hmm. You couldn't imagine how much church stuff we did. We would drive to Kettering, to Fairhaven Church, and I also had lots of friends there. And when I talked about where I lived, or they, heaven forfend, considered coming to my house to play, oh, my God, what a scene. My mom won't let me. You live in a bad neighborhood. We have to lock our doors when we come up to you in our car, which now I look at, and that's just, it was like coded language for just racism, just pure and simple.
Yeah.
But at the time, I was like, you people are, first of all, pathetic. Number two, very suburban, like, I didn't even think of it in terms of race. I thought of it in terms of, you are big babies. Like, what's wrong with you? I don't really understand why. Like, how is this a dangerous neighborhood? I didn't even really process that at all.
Yeah, right.
And looking back now, I'm like, you are stone cold racist, you people. What the hell? But at the time, it didn't hit me like that. So I also went to Dayton Christian School. Right after I graduated from the eighth grade and started high school, my parents put my sister and I in Dayton Christian School. So Dayton Christian School on Homeview Avenue was also in Dayton View. It was also in the north of town at the time. It isn't there anymore.
Yeah.
But when I went to Dayton Christian, it was up by my house. So that was my world, right?
Right.
But once again, the students that are from Centerville and Kettering, which were the vast majority, weirdly, of the students who attended that school, were bussed up and, like, they acted like they were going to some kind of a war zone. It was ridiculous. So there were just a handful of us who lived walking distance to Dayton Christian. I can think of maybe three or four of us, maybe five of us that I knew who lived actually in the north of Dayton where the school was. And we, you know, had a regular, you know, shtick of making fun of the kids from Kettering and Centerville. How they're like so pathetic and what's wrong with them. Right.
Yeah.
But again, it never really occurred to me that it was racial, really. It was more sort of quote unquote bad neighborhood, which now I know, of course, is exactly what that's about.
Yeah, what? Precisely.
But I didn't know that then. And my parents absolutely had no issue with having African Americans in our home. As young women growing up, there were four of us girls and one boy. Poor brother. But all four of us regularly dated and were very, very serious with men who were African American. And my parents had no issue with this at all. They could care less.
Right.
They didn't care if they were green, purple, orange, brown, or yellow. All they cared about was that this person was a born-again Christian. That's all they cared about. That was their only sort of bar.
Yeah.
So I guess we learned that approach at our parents' knee. And also, because we were imports to Dayton, Ohio, we didn't really understand when we walked into that city what necessarily was going on. In terms of white flight, like, we did not get it. We did not get it.
Yeah, and so that wasn't what was happening in Pueblo, Colorado?
No. And in Chicago, we lived in a neighborhood that had some African-American people, but was mostly heavily, like, Eastern European. So Polish, Czech, some Italian. There were some Puerto Rican. There were some African-American population there, but that was not the majority. The majority was sort of this Eastern European. But Chicago, I mean, again, a very diverse sort of patchworky area. And we weren't downtown in Chicago. We weren't inner city, but we were in a suburb that was close enough to the city that it had a lot of diverse population. We weren't in a wealthy neighborhood. My dad pastored a church there as well and lived in the Parsonage, which was a very small, cute little house. But it was not an affluent neighborhood. It was comfortably middle class.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a significant element of racial diversity in the neighborhood too.
When you moved to Dayton, did you notice neighborhood? Obviously, you know what you said. You grew up in a neighborhood with quite a few African Americans. Did you see neighborhoods being broken up similarly like that, where it was, you know, a block of, you know, Eastern European, or, you know, not just distinctly white or black necessarily, or was it truly white flight right to the suburbs, and then almost a dichotomy between whites and blacks for neighborhoods?
Yeah, I saw a real dichotomy. I didn't see a lot. You know, when we were in Chicago, there were all kinds of different stripes of people. In Dayton, it really seemed like there were white people and there were African-American people, and that's what
okay.
we had. It didn't really feel like there's all these gradations. There wasn't a large Latino population at all like I was used to in Pueblo. There wasn't
mm-hmm.
certainly an Eastern European population that you would get sort of in Chicago. It was like, okay, Kettering and Centerville are for the white people, and North Dayton and, you know, Dayton View were for us and
okay.
our African-American friends. So
wow.
there were white people in our neighborhood. There were. We saw them. But, you know, when Lydia and I went to my little sister and I delivered papers when we were young. I think we were probably, I don't know, 14 years old or something. We had a paper route. Our paper route was right near our house. There were almost no white people on our paper route. I think maybe
okay.
there were four or five, maybe. And that was it. So there weren't really Eastern Europeans. There weren't, like, the ethnicity that was obvious was African American. And the white people all just looked white to me.
And they acted that way, where it wasn't, you know, as you're saying, it wasn't divided up by Italians or
no.
you know, full,
oh,
yeah,
no.
okay.
okay. Nothing like that, no.
That's,
at least if they're, I mean, I don't know what their ethnicity was, the white people that were in our neighborhood, but there was no obvious sort of like, we're Italian, we're Polish, we're German, we're Irish. There was nothing like that.
Okay, wow. That's fascinating. So you grew up in North Dayton and, you know, came down to the Fairhaven Church in Kettering. So what ended up bringing, and you went to school at Dayton Christian near your neighborhood. So what brought you down to the arcade? You know, if you were
yeah.
out in the suburbs with, you know, some of your friends and went to school, they're not, you know, you didn't live in the suburbs, but,
really.
You know, what brought you down to the arcade?
Bus. We as a family, one of the things we loved best about Dayton was downtown. We love downtown. Oh my gosh, we love downtown. So maybe it was because we had come from urban centers and that was as, you know, urban as we're going to get, right, is little Dayton, Ohio. But we really loved downtown. We've always loved cities. So one of our favorite things to do as a family was to wander around our neighborhood and look at other people's houses because there's just stunningly beautiful housing stock in North Dayton. But our other favorite thing to do was to drive through downtown. So on our way to Fairhaven and back, every single time we went, and as I said, a couple times a week because that's how my family was, we drove through downtown. And we had 16 million different ways of driving through downtown.
Okay.
And we would time them and we would think about which was the best way. But I worked in lots of little different downtown jobs. So when the Victory Theater first opened up, I worked as an usher for the Victory Theater. When there was anything that I could do as a job downtown, that's where we wanted to be. So my sister worked down in something that was, oh gosh, it was Fifth Third Bank the last time I heard, but it was Central Trust when she worked there. So she worked
okay.
at one of the big banks downtown, which, by the way, I think was in a movie not too long ago. They filmed something over there. Anyway, she worked in that office. My mom, when my mom finally went back to work when we were all getting a little older, she worked at an optometrist's office dentist's office in that same building. My sister worked for the Dayton Daily News when it was downtown. My dad, of course, worked for Friendship Village in Trotwood, but he was the only one who went in the opposite direction. So being downtown was a big deal to us. And when I was at Dayton Christian, when I was at Fairview Elementary, I had girlfriends. Now, of course, at Fairview, everybody who went to Fairview Elementary lived in that neighborhood, right? There weren't any Kettering Centerville people at Fairview.
Yep.
So when we were thinking about something groovy for us to do, the groovy thing we'd love to do was take the bus downtown and go to Reich's and buy some candy and shop around and go to Elder Bierman and go in the plaza and wander around downtown. That's what you did for something fun and groovy to do to act and feel like a grown-up.
And so that was still common even for your suburban friends. There wasn't a fear of going downtown.
Let me back up, Phil. These are not my suburban friends. These are my North View friends.
When I was
at Fairview Elementary, all those people were in Dayton View. The Southerners, the Centerville Kettering people, they didn't really do that. I mean, if they did do it, I didn't know much about it. I don't think they did it often. So, there was a bit of a bifurcation there. I think they did go downtown sometimes, but there's a lot of, like, Dayton Mall. I mean, there's all that shopping in Centerville. Even when we were younger, even in the sort of mid to late 70s, there was a lot of shopping already in Centerville and in Kettering.
Yeah.
There's Dayton Mall down there, and that was kind of an early mall. We had Salem Mall, and we loved Salem Mall, but we liked downtown better. As a family, that's what we preferred.
Okay. So it was maintaining the same idea of, Fairview in that area, that's not safe, and so obviously downtown is not safe. That's what they were holding.
Yeah. I mean, there were occasions, I think, when they did go downtown, and it didn't feel quite as bad to them as I think my neighborhood did, but, you know, because they had doctor's appointments or whatever thing they had to do downtown. But I know there were some of them who at Christmas time went down to look at the Reich's windows and stuff like that when it was a special occasion, but they didn't go there regularly the way that we did.
Okay. So do you believe you are unique in that way, that you had already this comfortable feeling about going downtown and spending time there in your free time as opposed to others?
Certainly as opposed to people who lived in the south of town.
Okay.
So again, my friends from my neighborhood in right there on Salem Avenue, those friends were very comfortable going downtown and goofing around and having a high old time. But my Kettering Centerville friends on the other end of town were less so.
Okay.
And I don't even know if I think there was, and I'm speaking for someone who isn't here in this conversation, but if I were to ask them, I think at that time, downtown figured in their minds differently than my neighborhood did. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because downtown had a different feel to it. It wasn't just an African-American population. Everybody went downtown. So it was not like, downtown is scary. I don't really think that was true of them. I don't think they would think that, but I'm not sure.
Okay. Did you, being living in Dayton and, frequenting the arcade, in your time in Dayton, did you observe or get a sense of any changes if the people's general feelings towards the arcade were changing, the people going down there were different? Did you ever observe that difference, in middle school and high school, or was it generally kind of the same feeling or the same, zeitgeist?
Well, when the arcade first opened, when did the arcade first open? When they'd redone it, it was so gorgeous. I can't remember what year that was, but I think I was in high school.
I was in the early 80s, I think.
Right, early 80s, right. So I graduated in 81. So it might have been right after high school. So I worked in the arcade. I worked at this gyro sandwich shop serving souvlaki and gyros and all kind of stuff like that. I worked there for a year before I went to college. So I know it had to have been open in 82 because I was working there in 82. So when I was working there, it was relatively new, and it was gorgeous, crazy beautiful, and everybody, even people who are my church friends, thought it was incredibly groovy. So even Dayton Christian, Centerville Kettering kids, for instance, my little sister is 2 years younger than I am. So when they went to, like, homecoming or junior-senior banquet because, you know, it was the Christian school, so you can't dance. So when all you can do is sit down and eat or stand around. I don't know what they did. I never went to those. Anyway, but so when they had, like, big events, they would go downtown and have a fancy dinner downtown first.
Okay.
And one of the places they used to go was Charlie's Crab in the arcade.
Okay.
So there were plenty of people when the arcade first opened, and it was really, really gorgeous, and it was like, oh, my gosh, look at this place. There were plenty of people in the south of town who also were very excited to come.
And you know, that renovation really kind of breathes new life into it, you think? I mean, that kind of stirred up
There's
that
no question. There's no question. And, you know, there was, when it first opened, there was talk of having apartments in the top, in the very top floor.
Yeah.
So the bottom, and I always thought to myself, oh, what I wouldn't give to live in one of those apartments. Like, that would be a dream come true, right? Because you're this, you know, young girl, you haven't gone to college yet, you're right out of high school, I have this gap year happening where I'm working and saving money or whatever, and all I can think about is, ooh, these groovy apartments on the top of the arcade, that would be so cool. Oh, so fabulous. So, as you know, the bottom floor of the arcade had some shopping, but they had a lot of restaurants in the bottom. And then the second floor had – Charlie's Crab, I think, was on the second floor too, but – or at least part of it was. But there were shops on the second floor. There were a couple really beautiful sort of floral shop and, like, some – a shop that had fine china and did, like, bridal-y kind of things and was an interior design kind of store. Oh, it was so happening. And it was beautiful. So working in the arcade was – you know, it made you feel really, like, you know, special.
Yeah.
It was really beautiful. It was gorgeous. So, yeah, that was very groovy. But as, in terms of change over time, so I went away to college in 1982. I started college. And I came here to the East Coast. So I'm in New York, and I went to Nyack College in Nyack, New York, which is this tiny, crazy, like, fundamentalist Christian school, God help me. So where my dad had gone and my older sister had gone, like, it's just one of these things. So I went all the way out to the East Coast, and I never lived in Dayton again full time. So once I left for college, I came back regularly, but I did not live in Dayton again as an adult. So,
okay.
So when I came back, though, summers, holidays, whatever, I came back all the time. It was interesting to see. In the beginning, the arcade was still fabulous, and during the Christmas holidays, we would go down there and shop and poke around. We'd have dinner there or lunch there sometimes in those first years when I was still in school and in college. But at one point or another, and I can't remember, to be honest with you, when things started to go kind of south down there, but at one point or another, things were getting kind of not great. And at that point, I was no longer a Dayton resident. So I heard about it secondhand from my family, who all still lived in Dayton, but I wasn't there to experience sort of its decline in person.
Okay. So you know, kind of the secondhand information that they had passed along to you, by not great, is that the general economics of the city, of the arcade, is that more crime-related or a combination of the two?
It wasn't crime-related. It was certainly economic downtown slump related. So there was an overall sense, and this, of course, was viewed with great chagrin by my family, that the downtown area was beginning to really show some economic downturn. Now, my members of my family still worked there. So Lynn still worked at the Dayton Daily News. Leslie was still working at the bank downtown, and it had changed hands into another bank. I can't remember quite. But she had, let me think, by about 1987 or 8, she'd moved away as well. She got married and moved to New Jersey, so she was no longer working at the bank. My mom was still in that same building, that beautiful Art Deco building, working for the dentist. So two of my family members were still working right downtown. And they would comment about how things were closing up and the traffic wasn't the way it used to be. And, of course, I think it was Reich's that turned into – what it turned into? Macy's? I can't remember what it turned into. I'm on the phone with the public history arcade thing, just so you know. The arcade public history project. I'm sorry. I'm talking to my husband who just walked in.
Oh, that's okay.
So that sort of downturn was very noticeable. And it wasn't clear to me from a distance what was causing that, what was happening. All it all that was clear was that stores in Dayton were changing hands. There was this great natural food store that was on the corner of First Avenue, and I guess that's Main Street right there, right downtown,
yep,
in the heart of right town, right across from the Victoria, the theater.
Yes.
And it was amazing. It had, like, all vegetable, way before its time, like, bean sprouts and carrots and all these crazy veggie
sandwiches. And
this was
this was an outdoor market, or was it an indoor
store?
It was a
deli slash place that you would go to eat. And when I was in high school, it was so super groovy. But that had closed. So in my mind, I guess that signaled that things were going awry downtown because one really groovy restaurant closed. And, there was a lot of changes that it wasn't quite clear for sure if downtown was really beginning to falter or if things were just changing, because Charlie's Crab moved out of the arcade and went over to the space sort of down underneath. Do you remember that? By Courthouse Plaza, there's this place that was like underground, and there was a restaurant. There are two restaurants under there. Do you remember that? You don't know? Mm-mm. Well, there was a place that was, first there was a French restaurant down there. It was very, very cool, and you kind of went downstairs. As I remember, you went downstairs to it, and it was right off Courthouse Plaza. Charlie's Crab moved from the arcade to that space, so it was still downtown for a while. And then eventually it left downtown altogether. So there was a lot of shifting, places moving, closing, opening, moving around. So it wasn't sort of a one-way, sort of single-track development.
It looked
as if things were changing, but maybe not necessarily negative, and then it became clear after a couple of years that, downtown's having some difficulty.
Okay. So the movement from business out of the arcade to downtown, sort of in a not linear movement. So what is your earliest memory of the arcade? So you went down there and you worked down there,
mm-hmm,
and it was common generally for people your age to spend time down there. So what was everything? You know, there was food. By the time you're talking about, there was little retail. So was it truly just going there after school, weekend? Was it common place to hang out, or was it for just special occasions, like you said, for prom or something?
No, I mean, it all depended, I think, on who you were and what you were doing. So when I worked at the arcade, I worked full-time. I worked all day long, 9-to-5-ish, at the Euro stand. So I was looking out into the center of the arcade. You know, it was all sort of in the round, so to speak, I guess, around that big central area.
Yeah.
So we saw people going through the arcade that, you know, tons of business people, families, people who'd come downtown to have a doctor's appointment and now wanted a lunch, people who were shopping. You know, there was a huge mix of people. So it was during the week that I worked there. I worked there a little bit on the weekend, but for the most part, I was there Monday through Friday.
Okay.
So at that point in time, the arcade had just opened, and it was mobbed. It was packed all the time.
Sorry, writing something down real quick.
That's okay.
It
was a huge mix of people. I mean, it wasn't, you couldn't say, oh, this is only for business people, or oh, this is only for families, or you never see anybody of a particular color down here. Everybody was there.
Okay. Great. That was going to be my next question. is there anything in particular that stands out to you about the arcade that you want to share, a particular memory, or, we have a lot already, but anything that held special to you about it, or anything like that?
Well, we've already talked about it a bit, but it was really sort of a signal event that the arcade had opened downtown. It was a big
mm-hmm.
deal. And it felt like something that we had never seen before. So we were used to going downtown. As I said before, we ate down there, we, shopped down there, we enjoyed being downtown. My sister and, two of my sisters and my mom worked down there. So we were downtown all the time, and we loved downtown. It was great. But the arcade opening felt different. It felt special. It was like, oh, my gosh, look at this space. It was gorgeous. And it was like a different level of, I don't know how else to say it. I guess I would use the word sort of sophistication. There was a different level. It was a different level of a place. So it wasn't just Elder Beerman standing there as a department store. That was really groovy and great. it wasn't just Rikes as a department store. Rikes was also very cool, and like they had this eighth floor of all furniture, and they'd have all these like rooms set up. And I remember my sister and I used to go to the eighth floor in Rikes and pretend we had our own apartment and lived in these little spaces that they would set up. So there were lots of fun and fabulous things to do downtown, but the arcade was different. First of all, it opened with like a big splash. It had restaurants down there we'd never seen before. It had stores we'd never seen before. And it was just a completely unique entity in downtown. And it really enriched our experience of downtown. It enriched downtown generally. And it was sort of proof of evidence of the sort of uptick in Dayton's fortunes in terms of its downtown space. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It sort of signaled like, oh, my gosh, we are pretty cool. Like, we are up and coming. This place is amazing. You know, it was important.
And the implication I'm kind of drawing from that is that this sort of, you know, place like the arcade, you didn't have that in Colorado or
oh,
in
no.
Chicago. You know, what did they have? Shopping malls, I'm sure, Blizzard.
Well, in Pueblo, the city of Pueblo is not a huge city, but and it's not, when we were there, the population wasn't enormous, and there are lots of different neighborhoods, but we were, once again, close to downtown Pueblo. That's what we
right.
seemed to want to do. So, but the downtown there had, you know, five and dime kind of stores and a couple department stores. It wasn't really, really huge. Chicago, of course, was, you know, that's a different animal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't compare the two. Because Chicago, like, the population is enormous. They have, you know, an incredible downtown, but it's got its own symphony. It's got its own ballet. I mean, Chicago's a very different kind of town. And it's the kind of city that, you know, it's just enormous. So those two are kind of apples and oranges. But it did feel, I have to admit, now that you make that reference, growing up in Chicago, I was a younger person. So I remembered driving downtown to Chicago with my family just to go look at the buildings downtown after church on a Sunday night. That's one of the things we used to do.
Okay.
Downtown drives, my dad used to call it. And I remember an impression of the sort of very glittering, very fabulous downtown. And I have to admit that as an older person, a young adult person, and into my early adulthood, the arcade did have that kind of glitter. Do you know what I mean? It had of cachet that made downtown Dayton look, you know, just that much more sophisticated and fabulous.
Yeah, and the, you know, shopping centers in Centerville and Kettering, like, you know, the ones in Centerville or Town and Country in Kettering, they didn't have that.
No, they didn't have anything like that. They were just like, oh, it's a mall. Well, that's nice. There's
mm-hmm.
that one section of shops, I don't know if it's still there, you can tell me, but right around the intersection of like Far Hills and Ron Road, further down Far Hills than that actually, into Centerville proper, there used to be this little shopping center. It was on either side of Far Hills, and it had these little sort of pseudo cute little European-y, Swiss-y kind of shop facades. Do you know the one
yeah.
I mean?
Yep,
okay.
Yep.
So they had that, which was cute and kind of, you know, nice, but, like, had nothing on the arcade.
Right,
really
cool. Yeah, I appreciate it.